Hello, hackers. My name is Dominic Norton, and I am the podcast host of Hackathon Entertainment, the show where we bring you the story behind every hack. For those new to the show, or hackathons in general, a hackathon is a collaborative 48-hour event where participants, called hackers, come together to solve the world's toughest problems. You'll be surprised, excited, and amazed with the solutions people are developing all across the world. If you listened to the show before, you'll be excited to know we're in for another great one. In this episode, I spoke to Julian van Doorland, the co-organizer of World Hackathon Day and founder of Fable, an augmented reality studio that creates AR experiences for some of the world's biggest brands. World Hackathon Day is a 24-hour hackathon that invites participants throughout the world to solve the world's biggest problems. I hope you enjoy the show.
Developers, developers, developers. Developers, developers, developers. Developers, developers, developers.
My name is Julian van Doorland. I live in the Netherlands, like I told you already. I'm the co-founder of World Hackathon Day and a founder of my own company, Fable, where we create AR for social media, for like some big, huge brands here in the Netherlands. I also like to design, create art, and sometimes I also produce music. I reach more than 4.5 billion people with my AR creations, so that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I built currently a following of like almost 1 million subscribers on Snapchat. So I'm more in the AR space personally. And World Hackathon Day, it's a little bit like a funny story. I met my partner like a month ago, like 2 months ago. And I messaged him and he was doing all kinds of tech stuff. And I was really interested in that. And we were talking and we had this idea to like do this World Hackathon Day with the idea that we want to create, like we want to boost the newest technologies we have right now, like AR, VR, and AI, all that kind of stuff. And we want to boost that into the new world, give these technologies like a new shape them in a good way, where we kind of like just like boost it. And it's been a great way so far. We have like 285 participants right now. We have a lot of sponsors from all around the world. We have Israel sponsoring us. We have Microsoft for Startups, who is now sponsoring us with $100,000 worth of prizes. It's been a lot.
So one of my first questions is about really the inspiration behind the hackathon. Is this your first hackathon that you've hosted, or have you hosted many others?
This is my my first hackathon I'm hosting currently. I'm organizing, and my partner also has some more experience with organizing hackathons. He did the World Hackathon Day in 2014, and that was the virtual hackathon day. And then his partners back then didn't want to create a new one, so he was looking to like find somebody who he can work with to create this new hackathon. So yeah. I met him 2 months ago, and we connected really good. And then we started this virtual hackathon, just really awesome.
Before we go into depth about hackathon specific stuff, I find it really amazing how just a month ago you met your partner and you really clicked off, and now you have a huge hackathon going in a month. Can you talk a little bit about how do you, and I'm thinking about hackathons too, right? How do you know if the chemistry is right for you to do a hackathon project with someone, or, you know, organize a hackathon, or just do a project in general? How do you know, what is that feeling like? How do you, what's the conversation like with people maybe it works well with that you should do business with or do projects with?
That's a good question. I think it's important that you have to find somebody with some skills that you are missing. Like, personally, I'm very good at the design part and like the writing and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not that good at getting the sponsors, getting the partners, and that's more his part. He knows a lot of people, and I'm more like the backside of the event. I'm more like the organizing, that kind of stuff. And I think the way we connect is just, it's wonderful. And I don't know like how to explain it really. it's crazy.
Yeah, it's
like,
interesting.
If you think about it, like, yeah.
I was going to say, it's interesting because especially now remote, that's one thing I found really difficult, right? When you go to an in-person hackathon, you know, you can get a feel of people, you could speak to them face-to-face, and, you know...
True.
Like, the energy is different, but virtually, you don't have that same opportunity. So maybe by kind of unraveling the chem, like, how, what does good chemistry between people look like? We can kind of look at that online and see if we can begin to identify, do we have good chemistry with these people online to start remote hackathons?
Yeah, it's a hard question to answer. I think like really, the board part. I don't know. Most of the time I've grown up with working virtually with people, so I think that's really because like I'm not that old. I'm 19 years old right now, so yeah. Very young still.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've grown up with all these technologies and the virtual calls and like when I was 14, 15 years old, I was like calling people every day on Skype. Yeah. Now we have Zoom and all these other kind of Discord platforms and crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Skype is a little bit dead right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that also helped with connecting people virtually online.
So there's two things there that I kind of want to expand upon. I think the first one you spoke about, find someone who matches or fills in the gaps that you have. How did you?
That's really important.
Like you said, you're 19. How did you discover like design's your thing? Did you go through a period of wondering? Did you always know?
I was always looking for not following the normal path, you know? Like, I always want to do something different than other people. I think that's really important to, like, think outside of the box. And with the school system, of course, you know how it goes. Everything's inside it. Everything you have to really, really, like, behave a certain way, which I really don't like. So I always do my own thing, and I create my own path. And I try like everything that's on my path is an opportunity, and I really enjoy like exploiting that in a way that can work out really, really well.
And is that how you discovered your skills, by really exploring your own path and experimenting?
Yeah, just experimenting with like personally with my design, just experimenting, creating. Just start somewhere and meet new people, call with them, see what they think about it, like we're doing right now, and learn which lot of stuff, just learn everything. Like the important, like, how do I say this? Like, it's really important that you get a different view like you have to think about something differently. Like if you, it sounds a bit weird, but yeah, I don't know. It's so hard to explain.
No, that's really no problem.
It's so hard.
It's no problem. I think these are things everybody feels, but it's very hard to communicate. And I guess in speaking to lots of people and like really thinking hard about it, I guess we all can kind of piece together a little bit of a way that we can try to communicate. And maybe by putting all these ideas together, we can express how everybody feels. But it's definitely that journey. That journey's interesting for me. And I'm definitely happy that you said find people that fill in your gaps, because there are philosophies out there that you should kind of do everything, right? And we've...
Yeah, it's like, almost not possible to do everything yourself. You always have to find somebody else who is like... what I always think is that you have the big, big global thing, the main part, which you have to create, but you can cut that into like pieces. Like somebody can be really good at this part and somebody can be really good at that part. And it's important that you find somebody who can really, who really has a skill for like certain things. And then you can be the one that combines those things and create like one big project.
And what about people that we haven't really got into the hackathon, but this is related to hackathons. What about people that don't know, you know, they haven't, maybe they've gone through school and they haven't explored, and they've been fortunate enough to be a good student where they haven't had to explore their own path. What's the first step they can take?
You get to like on a different path or a different
path? Yeah, like a different path. Like for example, somebody might look at your hackathon and they say, well, you know, I was a law student, or I was, I don't know, a medical student, even though you do have a medical related track. I was a medical student. How can I can't contribute. I don't know AI. I don't know drones. I don't know virtual reality. What's the first step they can take to kind of explore what their skills are?
Yeah, their skills are really, really into their subject they study. Yeah. So, like we just talked about, it's good to find people with skills that they don't have. So, yeah. For example, if they don't have the development part of those kind of technologies, but they have the knowledge of the whole project, like the backside of it, it's important that you have people around you that can fit those gaps, that can create those AR, VR experience, and you can contribute with your knowledge about health and medicals and laws and things.
And before we get deeper into the hackathon, I know what Discord is, but you mentioned Discord, and on the website you have about Discord. For people listening that have no idea what Discord is, can you explain a little bit about Discord and why people use Discord?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Discord is basically Slack, but free. And I think, personally, for me, it's easier to use. If you go to the website discord.com, then you will see it's more used for gamers. It's more branded as a gamer platform or gamer community. But I think it's also important that you can create like other communities on it. So we I've been on Discord for now 2 or 3 years. I know the ins and outs. I know what works and what doesn't. How to set up things. How to set up the channel. How to set up the bots. To automate stuff, to set up roles. So yeah, it's really like, if you want a channel specifically for mentors, then you can create one specifically for the mentors. And if you want like just an announcement channel, where of course you don't want other people to chat in, like that works the same. Yeah, it looks like Slack, but I think it's easier to use than Slack, because Slack, like you have different accounts with emails. I don't know, it's a little bit weird that you have to create like different different account with different password for each channel that you join. Kinda, I don't know. It's yeah. I haven't been really using Slack, but it's kind of it's a little bit weird. And with Discord, you have everything on one platform. You can create like servers really easily.
Yeah.
You can create a community about whatever you want. In this case, we have the hackathon. But I also have my own channel where we can connect with people that create music. So you have like and other channels that you have people that create AR, VR, and all these technology. So you have all these communities which you can participate in, connect with these people and learn from them.
And that's a big part of working on a project, right? Communication. So you mentioned Slack, yeah. And Slack's just another communication tool. I think here, both where you're located and where I'm located, WhatsApp is still very big. I don't believe mm-hmm. WhatsApp's as big in the US or WhatsApp is relatively still big worldwide, but different regions have different platforms to use.
Yeah.
And
For China, they have like WeChat, and for America, they use like Telegram or other.
Yeah. But why is that important? You know, I'm on a 2-day project. Why do I need to communicate with my team? Why can't we just communicate with email?
I think if you use email, it's less personal. And I think that if you connect with people on a different platform, it has like these platforms brand themselves and as a platform for this special thing. And then like we as a human, as a people, then we kind of like follow that brand. So for email, we created this mind, I don't know what it's called, like this mind, is this brand where we have to create like a good email, blah, 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 you know, like,
yeah.
Hello, my name is kind regards, you know, like, you're sincerely, like, it's just basically writing a letter, right?
Yeah.
And with a communication platform like WhatsApp, you don't really... write your sincerely or kind regards to do the whole like the you know like the whole being a good letter writer.
And I guess communication is super important in project, and you spoke a little bit about the personal touch, and that's a big part of teams, right? You met your partner and you hit it off, and now you guys are setting up a huge hackathon. And can you talk a little bit about that, the personal relationships in projects and especially communication? Can you expand a little bit upon that? For example, using Discord, what type of community are you trying to create?
And yeah,
And why is that important?
On Discord, we're trying to create right now a community that will also be a part of us after the hackathon. And we want to have these people connect with other talents. Like for example, of course, we have people that you mentioned that are very good at being good with the juror stuff or with the healthcare. And like these people, maybe they are looking for different people, like the development part of something. Like some people really have a good idea, but they don't know how to code or do those stuff. And I think the hackathon is also a good part and a good way to communicate with the people. And it's an easier way to network, because like it can be hard to reach out to people on email or LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And that's most of the time just one-on-one. And when you have a group of people who have different skills, I think you can find people easier on a community-based platform where you have people that do have the same interest in developing and coding or creating something new. And then combining those people together to maybe like create a whole new company.
And you said something that really hit home with me about networking, and a lot of my close relationships in the developer community now had been born out of hackathons. And I do go to a lot of, well, I used to, when we was allowed out, I went to a lot of networking events. And it's not the same, right? In networking events, it's more transactional. And when you're doing hackathons, it's not just the transactions, you're working towards, you know, oh, we're trying to complete this project. And in trying to complete this project, I learn about you, I learn about your background, and I'm learning about your skills, and we are exchanging knowledge, but for this exterior goal to complete this project. And I think, do you have any personal stories or experiences about relationships you've developed out of project-based networking?
I create my projects a little bit by myself, but I have people in my network that are very, very skilled at certain parts.
Yeah.
And most of them are that I found on community platforms, also on Facebook groups, which are just people like very skilled in one thing. Yeah. Then I connect with them, can I connect with you? Maybe I have a project coming along. So most of the time I do it the all around way, like the all around. I don't really, like, first I try to find people, then create a project, then creating a project and getting people that way. But and yeah, it's so hard to explain, especially in English. So
yeah, no, you're doing awesome. It's a great conversation, and you're very insightful, even though, and you said you're young, only 19, but very, very insightful. And I guess let's move more into the technology, and this is one of my favorite parts. I could talk about tech all day, and it'd be amazing to hear your insights about, I guess, first augmented reality and virtual reality. And those are two, I guess, I'm not sure quite sure what to call it. You have them as two kind of sections, a part of your hackathon, like two, I guess, technology focuses. Why is augmented reality and virtual reality even important? Why should anyone care about augmented reality and virtual reality?
That's a good question. Augmented reality, let's start with that first. It's very, very important and growing really fast right now. Technology is there with 5G coming along. Bigger AR projects can be downloaded to your phone. Apple is now working on AR glasses, of course, which will be released like in 1 year or 2 years, not sure when, but some stuff has already been leaked. With the AR, you have like AR for your phone, we have the glasses, of course, but also on social media, we have AR on Snapchat and Instagram, Facebook. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really growing tool for also brands and marketers to like use these technology for their brand and reach more people organically. Like back in the old days, we had banners, video and advertisements in papers. That was more like stuff we didn't really like. We like avoid these things. We use ad blockers. We use like all these kind of tools to avoid these ads, these static ads, which are a little bit annoying. And with AR, we can be a part of their story and their brand. A brand can create a game. We like games. We like to play games. So it's important that our brand like really taps into AR and their the power of reaching organic people. Because like if you use AR on social media, it's way easier to share their the effect or the thing that you create to share it with people around. And if you like create AR on a different app, because there are also people creating apps using Unity and all these kind of tools, it's a little bit harder to like share your brand with other people. So that's a little kind of the power of AR on social media, is that it's really easy to reach a lot of people with your brand. And with virtual reality, it's also growing really fast. That's why we want to boost it right now. because of the distance, the social distancing we have to keep. And we still want to have personal ways of contact. And of course, with email that we talked about, it's a little bit hard to like really give a personal touch with text. So that's why we still want to see something, to like really engage. Yeah. And with virtual reality, I think it's possible to like really engage into engaging with people to make stuff personal and create projects together. Because I've seen like stuff that people are really, really creating and creating events and community events in VR. Even in the Netherlands with King's Day that was in VR because we couldn't like attend these big festivals. I don't know if you know King's Day.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's like the special day here in the Netherlands. And this year they did a VR meeting with like DJs and music, and like because of the social distancing we can like have these things in real life. So we are always, as humans, we're always looking different ways to like really get what we want. And yeah, with VR it's also possible to create these experience and personal touches.
And is it hard for someone to create a VR or AR project in your hackathon's 24 hours, but 24 hours, 48, 72 hours, is it hard for anyone to get into it and just start creating?
If you are new with it, I think it can be hard, yeah. It can be really hard if you don't know where to start. If you know some ins and outs and you know some people to connect with, that's why we create a community that we really want to expand on after the hackathon, to learn new things. And
so where
it is possible if you have and you know the people to create something big with like if you have the knowledge, then of course everything can be done in 24 hours.
Let's say somebody wants to create a small project. And something just simple, really, just a personal project. Where would they start?
Using AR?
Yeah, using AR. So I have experience in AR, so it could be creating lenses or creating Instagram filters and now Facebook filters. Where would you recommend they start?
Like as a very first beginner and you want to like really tap into the world of AR on social media.
Yeah.
I think it's important to join communities, to connect with people, to ask questions. It's really important. Also, there are forums available, Facebook groups, which you just have to join to really connect with people that have more knowledge than you. And it's also just trying. Breaking stuff, making stuff, downloading the programs, the tools, learning every step, because AR, you have like all these kind of parts that you can specialize in. With AR, you have like code that you can be really good at. You can also be very good at shaders and materials, or you can be really good at 3D modeling. So like, all these stuff can be really, that is like really a part of something big and a big project. And so it's important. You like really want to, you can learn some bits of everything, of course. It's always just important to learn some, just one thing really, really well. And then you can always find people
with
skills that you don't have.
You spoke about joining communities on Facebook or Discord or wherever and asking questions. What's the right way to get the information without offending anyone or overstepping?
Yeah, on Facebook we have these questions a lot of new people that just ask questions over and over and over. Like we have seen questions asked like a couple of thousand times. Like, why is my filter not, like, why is it, why has my filter these red spots? So we tell them just search, like, there's a search option in a Facebook group, and you can just type in filter compression LUT You can just search, and so we tell them to just next time just use this search bar to find your question. And if it's a really, really big question, then of course there's always people helping. If it's always good to ask specific questions, because there are always people that have specific skills,
yeah.
So they can answer your specific question really well.
And the key is, people are willing to help, but there's a bunch of work you have to do beforehand, right? You have to really search hard beforehand and give people good information on what you've done or where you are in your project so they can help you in a really specific way.
Yeah, that's what makes you learn. Asking the most specific question possible so you can so somebody who knows what that means can help you. And if you, like when I'm working on a project and I have a question, and I try to ask it as specific as possible, so somebody who has the skill can answer the question, and then that way you can just learn how it works as specific as possible to finish your project.
And do you, two things come up when you say that. Do you think asking questions is a skill in itself? Because
yeah.
Because you know, when we ask Google, we kind of just, we don't ask a specific question. We just ask a general question and just keep searching. But when you're asking somebody else, it's a little bit different, right?
Yeah, it's true. Like on Google, you just type in the keywords and there's a database of a crawl system that like really searches for all these keywords in these websites. And you can find the information that way, but it's always hard because then you have a big list or a big list of words and texts and sentences that you have to like skim through to find your answer. And when a question is as specific as possible, a human being that really knows, that really has the knowledge, that can really answer that question specifically for your needs.
And why?
That's the very big difference. And I think with AI, it's going to be a long way to like fit those things. I've seen people creating things very differently within the tool with the same visual results. For like Instagram and Facebook, you have Spark AR, and you can use code, but you also can use patches, and you can combine these two even. So like there's a bridge between them, so you can get values from script to patches. And some people just use script, just fully scripted stuff, and some people just use patches. So like in a project, there are different ways to achieve the same result.
And is that why it's important to really find your own path and your own journey and what works for you? Is that how you have become such a superstar in the AR and VR space? You've used those skills?
Yeah, it's really important that you try to learn a lot. Just try to learn everything. And when you know certain parts, then it's the best to like specify the things you really want to grow in. And then of course, then you have something that you're really good at and you have the knowledge and you can talk. Like it's important that you can ask these specific questions, but before you can ask them, you have to know the base language, what you're talking about. So it's important that you learn bits of different parts. And when you need something, then you can ask a specific question because you have the knowledge already.
And so we can kind of move to the last four kind of technology pieces. And I know this is not your exact, well, at least from us speaking, this is not your exact area of focus. But I also want to kind of touch on these other four that you have connected to the hackathon and describe to people, what are they, why are they important? So you have artificial intelligence, AI, you have robots and drones, you have blockchain, and you have automation. And can you just, we don't need to speak extensively on these four topics, but can you touch on each of them and why should anybody care about AI or blockchain? Is it just hype? Why are you guys focusing on it on the hackathon?
Yeah, so for artificial intelligence, it saves time, and also for automation. If you have every problem that you can solve with artificial intelligence, that saves time, and of course in the business the time is money. So if you want to like automate stuff, it's important that you use like one of these technologies. And for the blockchain part, yeah, that's a whole different story. I think it's important that we also think about different ways of new technology that can still grow. It's still new. We don't know where it goes. Same with all these other technologies. It can be part of our lives. Like some people are using blockchain, but not everybody. But it can be part of our lives in like 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. We don't know. It depends like how many people work with it and if they accept it. The same for robots and drones. I think we still have a long way to combine artificial intelligence with robots and drones. So like in a way, these technologies can connect with each other to like really build our future. And it will take some time, but if we have and can inspire more people to work with these technologies, then we have more people that will be accepting them. So they will become normal in our daily lives. Same with the masks we now use. Yeah. Like nobody was wearing them, and now everybody has to wear them because like people are pushing and people are like really worrying about it.
And so incorporating them in your hackathon is just helping people get their feet wet, right?
Yeah.
And so connected to your hackathon, you have these different technology focuses, but also you have these different tracks. Why do you have different tracks? Why is that important?
Yeah, so we found these problems that we currently have in these sections, which are really vulnerable for different events, in this case, the coronavirus. As you can see, like health and fitness, we couldn't like attend fitness, we couldn't like work out, and for healthcare, it's just a big mess. The same for work and economy. We couldn't go to work, we have to keep social distancing, and that connects with virtual reality really well. Like how can a company or business work together from home when an event like the coronavirus happens? And I think it's important to think about that. And same for education and empowerment. For the education part, we're using still the same system from like 100 years ago, which is totally old. And I think that they should also focus more on like learning from a distance. You know, like some people are like traveling a couple of hours to go to their work or to their school. It's all waste time, and it's also not good for our environment. So that's also why we added that. Like, how do we connect that to, like, if we don't travel, like, what can we else do? And how can that help?
And if...
Same for the music and the... Yeah.
Oh, no, please, go on.
Yeah, and same for the music and the entertainment industry, which has been delayed a lot because they can't do any big shows. So of course, most of the stuff can be solved by using VR and AR. That's why we have them up on the top. And I think all these other tools can be really connected with each other to like really help. And also for the robots and drones, of course, a robot can really help and the people in the hospitals. There are already robots in hospitals, of course. But of course, it's still a little bit not that well made. It can be better. So that's why we created this hackathon, to really think of new ideas to like, how can these new technologies help these problems that we currently have, and how can we avoid them in the future?
And how can participants best take advantage of the opportunities of some of the great mentors and judges you have available, and speakers too? How do they maximize their experience as a participant?
Currently, our judges and speakers aren't any, like, they aren't a participant. They're just doing their judging part and their speaking part about their world and their what they're in, with people creating apps, with people also designers and web developers, with people that are into the VR world. So we want to like really give people their view on these technologies, like the participants. And it's always good to find new ideas that they can maybe like get inspired by, and maybe build their tools or their things with the newest technologies for the problems that we have.
And my last question for you is, do you have a couple tips for participants that they could do to help their projects be more successful?
Yeah, I think it's good to plan the project really well, so that you know what you're working on. It's always good to go outside of the box a little bit, to add some stuff, to get some inspiration somewhere. Like maybe you saw some idea and discuss it really well. I think discussing and communication is really important if you want to achieve something like this. And also find people with skills that you are missing. In case we talked about the people that are working in healthcare and they want to have something or they want to do something, then find somebody who's helping you with developing it. So like really find some people that have the skills that you don't have or have the time to learn, because it also costs a lot of time to learn those skills. And sometimes we don't have the time, and it's always good to save time, because time is the only thing that is limited in our lives. The rest can be unlimited.
And I want to thank you, Julian, because this has been an amazing conversation. I am probably going to participate and probably just make something for fun in the hackathon. But your thoughts on really finding your own path and being outside the box really hit home for me. And I think that's something that people can really take away and try to use in their lives. So I just want to thank you.
Developers, developers, developers. Developers, developers, developers. Developers, developers, developers. Developers, developers, developers.